Hello, you guys. Welcome to another episode of Gym Ramble. So excited to be with you here today. If you are hearing me specifically a little bit later in this episode and you're like, wow, she sounds sick again, you would be correct. Unfortunately, we went up north to Tahoe for the end of the year, and I think just the cold plus the rise and fall of elevation, because it was a quick trip, wrecked my body. And it's just a cold. Honestly, it was only one day of feeling sick, but there is some lingering congestion. So yeah, if I sound a little bit nasally, that is why. But we're getting through it. Honestly, I feel close to 100% today, so we're gonna be rocking and rolling with this episode. And I'm excited. If you clicked on this episode, you would see that the title is Can You Have Your Cake and Eat It Too? We're gonna be diving into what that means and why I created, or why I'm creating, this episode specifically. So this whole can you have your cake and eat it too? It's really speaking to this message that I'm seeing a lot on social media of you can eat and do whatever you want and see progress, right? I think there was a time and a place where fad diets were just all the rage, and they're still around, right? But I think compared to like the 90s and early 2000s and stuff like that, I think with the rise of social media has also become the rise of, hey guys, like you can have sugar and still see progress. Like you can make this a lifestyle change and not have to kill yourself for like 8 weeks, like cutting out carbs, cutting out sugar, cutting out all this stuff, or doing a juice cleanse and still see progress, right? I'm all for that. I love that. However, there are some fundamental habitual changes and routine changes that I believe 99% of people should make in order to see and maintain the progress that they want. Okay. And I say 99% because there's always going to be that one-off situation where people are like, oh, you know, I have this routine, I have this responsibility, I have this going on. And so, you know, 99% it is, right? But somebody asked me on TikTok, they said, what foods do you eat? Right? Like it was in reference to one of my transformation videos, and they go, what foods do you eat? And my initial knee-jerk reaction was to say, I eat all the foods, you know, like I eat all food sources. I don't cut out any food sources. I don't, you know, if somebody offers something to me and I want to eat it, I'm not going to say, oh no, you know, I don't eat that because of my diet, right? I eat everything. I track macros, but I can fit anything into those macros. But then I started thinking about that question a little bit more. And I said, you know what? That's kind of a cop-out answer to say, I eat everything. Because if I compare my life now to my life even before I started fad diets, like when I was just in college, didn't really care about my nutrition, didn't really care about moving my body, didn't really care about my health, for lack of a better term, like seriously, I really didn't. There are so many changes. Like I was still eating the foods that I eat now back then, but there are so many just decisions that I've made up until this point, and my decision-making process is a lot more clear now, in the sense of I will be making decisions in accordance to my goals because they matter to me, right? So that's what I'm going to be talking about today, because like I was mentioning earlier, I think it's great we've gotten away from this kind of fad diet cleanse culture, but at the same time, I think there are even some coaches who are marketing their business and like, you can eat foods you love, you can eat foods you want, you can, you know, do whatever and still see progress. And yeah, you know, I want you to eat foods you enjoy, but you can't keep doing what you've been doing and expect radical change, right? This is going to be hard to hear. This is not going to be something that's like, oh yeah, like, you know, it would be a lot easier for me to come on here and say, you can eat and do whatever you want and expect change. But you probably can't, right? If you are somebody who likes to go out every single week and get, you know, really, really drunk, and, you know, you like to do that 1 to 2 times a weekend, every single weekend, you're probably going to have to shift out of that if you care about your goals, especially if part of your goals is being in a fat loss phase, right? Because this is not just for physical transformation. You have to care a little bit about your health as well, right? And that's just kind of one example, but we're going to get into a lot more here. And I have some notes. And I said, you know, your habits are going to have to change. What's going to change, right? The groceries you get are probably going to change. How you approach things like snacking, how you go out to eat will change. Your relationship with alcohol will change. How you spend your downtime will change. How you connect with other people will change. And I'll talk about what that means here in a second, right? But this is not a bad thing. If you're listening to this and being like, oh my gosh, this girl, Alicia, on the podcast is telling me that I can't enjoy cocktails with my friends and I can't do this, that, or the other thing in order to see progress. No, right? I think we get so caught up on what we don't want to sacrifice that we don't recognize that that makes up like maybe 5% of our week, right? We're so focused on that 5% of our social life that we don't want to give up that we don't recognize that we need to focus on the decision-making the other 95% of our life, right? If I go out to eat with my boyfriend and we plan for an Italian date night, I'm not going to sit there and order zucchini noodles, right? Like, I'm going to have the table bread. I'm going to have the pasta. I'm going to have the wine, right? But are we doing that every single night? No. And if we were doing that every single night, you best believe I would change where we were going out to eat. We wouldn't be having, you know, loads of pasta every single night. That's just, nobody does that, right? So when you're thinking about these habitual changes, and when I'm going to talk about what I've specifically done differently throughout my journey making this a lifestyle change, I want you to keep that in mind, right? This is not a bad thing. A lot of these things will actually enhance the quality of your life. Something that I posted about recently and something that we actually talked about in our team Zoom is the higher self exercise, okay? This is something that I want you to do. And if you read this post, and especially if you're a client, you're probably like, oh my gosh, this is the third time I'm hearing about this frickin' exercise. But what I want you to do is I want you to picture the highest version of yourself, and I want you to really envision her and think about, how does she spend her time? What does she spend her money on? How does she invest in herself, in her goals, in herself? What does her self-care look like, right? Who is she surrounded by? What hobbies does she have? How does she spend her mornings? What does she eat, right? Start to think about these things and act accordingly, because if you think about it in that way, you're going to be focused less on what you think you have to cut out. And you're going to be focused on, okay, what can I add in to enhance my life, to make this easier? Because that's really what I'm talking about here when I'm going to be mentioning some of these habits. It's honestly to make my life easier, right? Because if I had goals to hit my macros and let's say I was in a deficit, I'm going to be doing these things to make my life easier, to make sure that I'm going to be getting to where I want to be. And it's not a matter of, oh, I want to reach my fitness goals and also live my life, because that insinuates that you cannot live your life and also make decisions in alignment with your goals. Because if your goals matter to you, you should be willing to have a growth mindset to change your habits in accordance, in accordance with where you want to be, okay? That's not necessarily sacrifice. And social media, certain people, you know, I don't know who I'm thinking of. I don't have any one specific in mind, but I've heard this a couple times where if I talk about something like this, like my non-negotiables surrounding nutrition or how I approach nutrition or how I plan for these things, there's always going to be somebody who's like, oh, that seems like obsessive or that seems unhealthy. And it's like, my content's not for everybody, right? Like my approach to nutrition, like stuff like that, it's not for everybody. There's always going to be a one-off situation or, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, if this is something that you have been thinking about, like this goal really matters to you. You want to get healthier. You want to put on muscle. You want to lose body fat. You want to make this a lifestyle. It's equally as frustrating or even more frustrating to feel like you're doing everything right, but you're not seeing changes. So having this conversation with yourself and being honest with yourself about, are my actions in alignment with my goals? I think that's one of the healthiest things that you can do, because you are finally giving yourself permission to act in accordance with who you want to become. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, you hear about stories where people are like, I was pulling all-nighters and I just had no life when I was studying for this degree, or when I was studying to be a doctor, or when I was doing this profession. Like, I just stayed up all night. I stayed at the office. Like, I didn't have a life. You know, we commend that in America. We're like, wow, like the hustle culture, like that's not healthy, right? But then you tell something like this where it's like, okay, here's how you can tweak your nutrition or kind of set non-negotiables around your nutrition, training, time to make sure your goals become a reality and to make sure that you are becoming a healthy individual. And people are like, that's restrictive. And it's like, no, that's, we're doing the same thing that everybody else who has ever had a goal has done, and that's freaking prioritize it, okay? So with that being said, that's my little rant. I got a little ranty there. But honestly, again, I really want to say this again. This is not a bad thing, and you will probably feel like you have a more enhanced quality of life. And when I talk about these things that I've made, you can take what you feel resonates with you and leave what you don't, right? This is just a list of things that have worked for me. And again, when I've been on this fitness journey, I've had a really intense corporate job where I had to stay at the office for 12 hours a day. I was a college student. Now I work from home, right? So I've had kind of the whole gamut of like different lifestyle changes. Of course, not all of them. I'm not a mom. I'm not married, or, you know, things like that. So I'm not sitting here on a high horse being like, I figured it out, like do what I've done. This is truly just habitual changes that have worked for me and that I like to share with our clients because it helps them as well. Just giving them permission to be like, this is how I actually structure my nutrition. Because when somebody says, what do you eat? And I say everything, that's not helpful. Okay. So hopefully this will actually help you guys out and get the wheels turning and thinking of like, okay, how can I enhance my routine, my habits, how I spend my downtime? How can I look at nutrition in a way that's going to be supportive of where I want to be? When I think about my habits, I think the biggest one that has changed for me is the amount that I go out to eat. And when I say go out to eat, I don't mean date nights. I mean like hitting the drive-thru, going to a coffee shop and ordering something there because I'm working at a coffee shop, right? I used to be the person who would not eat because I felt like, oh, I'll just like intermittent fast, or I don't know. I would just not plan ahead. I thought that planning ahead for my nutrition meant meal prepping actual Tupperware. But the thing is, if I was going to work or study at a coffee shop, I wasn't going to bring a Tupperware with me because I didn't have anywhere to store it. So I was just kind of like, I guess I'll just not eat and eat when I come home. But then what would happen is I wouldn't plan ahead for my day. And so I would be all out and about, and then I would order something at the coffee shop, or maybe I would even plan to hit the drive-thru on the way home. And then I would feel like, oh, well, this isn't healthy, so I guess I'm not being healthy today, right? Or if I was planning to track my macros and I ordered something out because I was just ravenous and it became like, okay, what's nearest to me? Then I would just eat something, not know how to track it. It wouldn't be very accurate. And then I would just kind of blow the rest of the day off and be like, well, you know, I don't even know, you know? So that's the biggest thing that has changed is I go out to eat only really when it's a social event, right? If it's a date night, if I'm catching up with my friends, if I'm home with my family, right? I probably go out to eat like twice a month now. And that part of it is just because my boyfriend and I are trying to go out to eat, are trying to go out to eat less, like genuinely. We like cooking at home. We like, you know, kind of where we live and our kitchen and stuff like that. But when I go out to eat, I feel like when I think about my life prior to really focusing on my fitness journey, I would go out to eat so much. I would pick up a smoothie. I would pick up, you know, a little treat. Or I would just pick up lunch out and about all the time. And I'll give you an example of kind of how that has shifted. So today, my day was pretty busy. I actually had a client in town. Shelly, if you're listening to this, hey. I actually had a client in town, so we met for coffee at 9 a.m. I woke up and I was like, okay, I know I'm gonna wanna work at the coffee shop after we meet up. And then I know I'm gonna go straight to the gym because I have to go to the gym today. So I will wake up, eat a bigger meal than usual, and then pack snacks / a pre-workout meal so that when I'm at the coffee shop, I can eat that, or in my car on the way to the gym, I can eat that, and then I'll be good until post-workout, and then I can come home and make, you know, a regular meal then, right? So I brought my snacks to work. To the coffee shop to work. This is something that I did a lot in college as well when I was tracking my macros. I would bring yogurt, carrots, apples. Today I brought rice cakes with peanut butter. I would bring deli meat sandwiches, right? I would keep it maybe in a little cooler, or honestly, if I was going to eat it within like the next few hours, I would just not do it, right? Sorry if you're listening to this and you're like, food safety, but I'm fine, right? I'm living. But I would do that. And the purpose of me telling you this is that's how you plan ahead. It's not a matter of planning ahead being like, let's make sure I have chicken in my house. Because if you're somebody who likes to go out and about all the time and you need snacks on the go, you are not shopping for groceries that are conducive to your lifestyle. So that's my point 1B is I always make sure that I specifically have protein options to grab and go. And I also have fruits and vegetables that are grab and go. Okay, because I know if I'm gonna be out and about shopping all day and I'm like, hey, I don't really wanna just wing it and see what's close to me when I'm super hungry, and I don't wanna get to the point where I'm out and about and I get so ravenous to where I'm like, I don't care what I eat, like I just need something, probably not gonna make the best decision in the heat of the moment. So what do I have that I could bring? And if all you have grocery wise are like ingredients and things that you need to spend 30 minutes cooking in your kitchen, you are not going to make a wise decision, right? Because you don't want to cook that right now. That's not portable to where you're going, and it's probably going to end up being a shit show. Okay. So what do I have? I have deli meat always. I have yogurt always. And I have protein powder always. If I'm out and about and I want to do a gas station, like we just did the Tahoe trip, and I got like a protein bar, right? Like stuff like that. But I also have apples that I can slice up. I usually have carrots, sometimes snap peas, right? Like I'm actively thinking about what does my day-to-day look like and how can I choose grocery items that coincide with what my schedule is, right? So think about that. My grocery shopping has changed in the sense that I'm thinking about, okay, I probably need leaner protein options for when I'm out and about. What does that look like? So that I'm not high and dry when I'm spending 6 hours out of the house, okay? Just continuing with the grocery shopping point. I shop by macronutrients to make sure that I'm hitting my macros. I will have snacks. I will have the fun things, okay? But I need to make sure that I have protein, carbs, and fats checked off my list. And this is something that I see a lot. If you are new to tracking macros and you get excited because you're like, well, I can fit whatever I want into my macros and hit them, yes. But oftentimes what happens is you're under on protein and you're over on fat. Why that is because if you've never thought about the macronutrient profile in the foods that you're eating, you are probably just by nature, it's not like you, like you should be ashamed, but like you just probably are by nature not choosing lean protein options, right? Lean protein options means high in protein, low in carb, low in fat. You're probably thinking, oh, what's a protein option? Whole eggs, peanut butter, chicken thigh, ground beef, right? But if you're having chicken thigh, there's fat in that. If you're having whole eggs, there's fat in that. If you're having peanut butter, it's not even really high protein. It's just majority fat. And what was the other one I said? Ground beef. If you're not having a lean cut ground beef, you're looking at like, what, 80% lean? Lots of fat in that, right? So that's where my point earlier that I made of your habits need to be surrounding changing the groceries that you get. That's going to be a non-negotiable moving forward, is like 1 to 2 minimum lean protein options. Chicken breast, egg whites, chicken deli meat or turkey deli meat, right? Yogurts are pretty lean depending on which one you get. I like the Carb Master ones, and I also like Oikos 000 Greek yogurt. Shrimp, right? There's a lot. But changing that is going to be key. And I'm not saying you can't buy the other stuff, right? Because you can eat whatever you want. But I'm just saying, why make it more difficult and more frustrating to hit your goals when you can make this easier? Like, think about what you can add, not what you, quote, need to take away. But that's important, right? That's an important part of just thinking about how you shop and thinking about, okay, how can I make this taste good? Can I air fry it? Can I bake it? Can I do these things? It's going to be helpful, and you're going to get to your goals much quicker, right? Because instead of spending weeks being like, why am I so under on protein and over on fat? You're actively able to be like, okay, I understand what needs to change. I'm willing to make that change. I have the growth mindset moving forward. So that is my next point. Additionally, if we're just talking about me and what I like to do, I have kind of a non-negotiable with myself where I don't have more than one powder/bar source for my protein per day. I usually don't have protein bars in my house. I just think they're too expensive and they have like a good amount of carbs and fats in them, which I would much rather get from other sources. But I have protein powder in my house a lot. I use the vegan protein powder Beam, B-E-A-M. I love it. I've been using it for years. However, I know that it's very easy to just make a protein shake or make a Ninja Creami with the protein powder or throw it in my oatmeal or something like that, right? So I do challenge myself to get only one scoop of protein powder per day. Sometimes it's like 1.5, but the rest of my protein is from other sources, right, that I mentioned earlier. And that's just because your body is always going to absorb the nutrients from whole food better than it is from artificial sources, right? So think about that as well. And again, back to my point, it's not just about, oh, how does your physique look? Like, we have to prioritize our health as well, right? We're going to talk about alcohol in a minute, but I think that's the really big one that people don't want to shy away from or don't want to hear, or they do want to shy away from. They don't want to hear is like, your relationship with alcohol, depending on how it was prior to entering into this journey, is probably going to have to change, and you're gonna have to be willing to change it, right? Before, I was in college, so I think that's just a little bit different than like the rest of your life. But when I was in college, I would drink multiple times a week, and it was just like, even when I was tracking macros, I would be like, oh, I'm gonna track all these shots in my full day of eating. Well, what happens? I'm not even going to talk about like internally what happens. I'm just going to talk about a performance perspective, right? What would happen is if you're tracking your alcohol, even if you have a lot of food to play around with, I would obviously not eat. I would not have those macros dedicated to other food, right? So I'd be eating less actual food and nutrients throughout the day. And then therefore my lifts would suffer because I wasn't getting food. My sleep would suffer because of the alcohol. And overall, I just didn't perform as well. So my physique didn't look as good, right? And I'm not saying like, oh, you can't drink, but that was something that I really had to think about is like, do I need to order a drink every time I go out to eat? Do I need to have a glass of wine with my boyfriend every single time he wants a beer? Do I need to have wine every time I have a friend over just to chat? The answer is no. I had to make a lot of those changes. And I have here a separate note. I don't eat every time my boyfriend eats or others around me eat or drink. I have become so solidified in my habits and in my own non-negotiables that it's okay if other people are like, yay, let's watch a movie. I have snacks. I have alcohol. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I'm like, hey, this is a decision that I want to make. I haven't, you know, seen these people in a while, and I actually just genuinely want a glass of wine. That sounds good. I'll make that decision, right? Again, I'm not cutting out things in my life, but more often than not, I don't, right? I live with my boyfriend. He eats more than I do because he's a bigger person, right? And also he works in an environment where he doesn't get a lot of breaks to eat. So he eats a lot of his meals and snacks and things at night. I don't. And there would be a part of me where back in the day I would feel like, oh, this is a bonding experience. Like he's going to eat and I'm going to also snack with him and we're going to watch a movie. But I genuinely don't feel the need to, partially because I don't want to. Like, I just don't like eating big meals before bed. It disrupts my sleep, especially if we're having it super late at night. But I think it just comes to the fact that I'm like, no, I'm tracking my macros. Like, this is what I wanted to eat today. I'm satisfied. I feel good. Like, if I want like a Diet Coke or like a, like with zero caffeine, or if I want like a ice sparkling water or something, like obviously I'll have that. But more often than not, I've become very confident in my decision making. And I think that that's something that is really important to, what am I trying to say? It's just really important to develop, right? Saying like, no, I'm not going to have alcohol today, or no, I'm not going to do this today just because the people around me are doing it. It's okay to say that from time to time, right? Especially if you feel like you're doing everything right and you're not seeing changes, it's probably time to say, okay, what do I need to maybe sacrifice a little bit more? And again, you don't need to sacrifice forever. I'm in a cut right now, so I'm sacrificing more, but I'm not gonna be in a cut for much longer. And I'm gonna have more food to play around with. I'm gonna have more flexibility, especially if I'm going on vacation or something like that. Like, you best believe when I'm visiting my friends, like we're getting drinks, we're going out. Like it's a fun time. But that's not majority of my day-to-day, right? If every single day my boyfriend came home and I felt like, oh, I was just snacking because he was snacking and I was over on my macros and then I would have a drink because he was having a drink, and like I would see no progress, right? Like I would not be anywhere closer to my goal. So it's not their fault. It's me and being like, okay, what habits do I want to instill in myself? Okay, what do I need to change in order to get to where I want to be? And that's really what I want you to think about. Another note that I have here is my self-care days look more like setting myself up for the week and doing things for me that are in alignment with my goals, right? I used to be the person where if I would have, something dropped there, sorry. If I had like a bad week, or in college, if I got a bad grade, or maybe I didn't even get a bad grade. Maybe I just came off a week of studying and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so pooped, right? Like I would, my version of self-care would be laying in bed all day with the lights off, ordering food, just like indulging in my bed, going out that night with my friends. And like, that was my idea of self-care. That is not my idea of self-care today. I don't have those days where I just like don't do anything. And again, it's not because I'm like harsh, like I need to stick to my schedule. But to me, if I need a little bit of a reset, I'm like, okay, what's gonna make me feel good? What's gonna make me feel good is getting outside, at least getting in a walk and getting in some sunshine. What's going to make me feel good is making my own meals and yes, working in foods and snacks that I love, right? Like sweet treats, things like that. Maybe I am going out to eat, right? Maybe I am doing these things, but my version of self-care looks a lot different because I've been through the motions enough to know that, okay, moving my body, fueling myself, drinking water, getting good sleep, this is what makes me feel good, right? So as you're going along this journey, your version of self-care is going to change. And I think that that is really empowering because again, what does the highest version of yourself look like? How do you want to reward yourself? I think a lot of people admit that they have a bad habit of like rewarding themselves with food and being like, okay, every time I get stressed out, I turn to food. Every time I get anxious, I turn to food. Every time I want to reward myself, I turn to food. And I don't think it's food that you eat on a regular basis. I think it's like, oh, going out to eat, like eating too much, like feeling like you're overindulging, right? So how we break that cycle, or part of breaking that cycle, because it's very nuanced person to person, but how we break that is by understanding that your habits don't need to change just because of how you're feeling. And your habits are going to make you feel more at baseline, right? So when you have a feeling of like, oh my gosh, anxiousness, oh my gosh, this, oh my gosh, that, you're like, okay, how do I get back to baseline here? What are the core habits that are going to make me feel good? What are the meals that, yes, I enjoy, but are also going to make me feel full and satiated? Right? If I want something sweet, I'm going to have something sweet. If I want ice cream, I'm going to have ice cream. But you best believe before I have that, I'm going to make a good meal with protein, with fiber, with carbs, with fats. It's going to be beautiful, right? And then I'm going to have my treat. I'm not just going to be like, well, I really want ice cream, so I better skip dinner and just have my ice cream. And then 15 minutes later, I'm craving something else, right? It's all about the strategy component. That is something that I say so much. It's strategy over restriction. But strategy does not mean doing whatever you want when you want it and expecting progress. Okay, so that is the biggest difference here. What else do I have here? A really important one is I broke my habit of having to have a snack every time I watched TV. That is something that Nick and I like to do. We really like watching movies. And I used to be the person where if I would sit down and watch a show, watch a movie, I would need something to eat. I would need something to munch on. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I save myself a snack or something that I want to eat when we're watching TV, but most of the time I don't. Okay. And so that was a really important thing for me to break. And I also broke the habit of needing to watch something every time I ate. I used to be the type of person who would need to be watching a YouTube video. And I had to break that because I made the correlation that I need a screen every time I eat. And every time I eat, I need a screen, right? So, or did I even say that, right? I don't know. But that was something that I had to break. So I'm like eating my meals now with no little to no distractions. Sometimes there's a podcast, but with little to no distraction, definitely no screens. And I also don't feel the need to always be snacking on something when I'm watching a show. That is just another thing that I've done and that I've recognized is like, this is probably not the best for me and my goals. Like I need to really not feel the need to be distracted or not feel the need to eat when I'm doing this activity. And then I have some other rapid fire tips and tricks and things that I just do without really even thinking about it, okay? The first one is 25 grams of protein at breakfast. Or if I'm working out, this is 25 grams of protein in post-workout, okay? My breakfasts are usually one of a few things. They're usually protein oatmeal with protein powder in there. That's how you get the protein in there. It's usually an omelet. So it's usually an omelet with egg whites, whole eggs, veggies, and then avocado toast or rice cakes. And then maybe even some blueberries on the side, depending on what I'm having or what I'm feeling. And that's usually my breakfast. Sometimes I'll make breakfast tacos, depending on how much time I have. I haven't had those recently, but it's really one of those three things, right? Something else, kind of a subset of that, is I always have one fruit and one vegetable at breakfast or in my post-workout meal. This is just a non-negotiable I have for myself because I feel like if I don't get this vegetable in or fruit in, I won't until dinner, right? Especially if you're the type of person who's out and about all day, especially if you're like, okay, I have my 9 to 5, I usually pack a lunch. Having a really good, solid breakfast when you're in your own kitchen and when you're able to cook is very, very important. Especially if you have a job where you don't sit at a desk. Maybe you're a nurse. Maybe you're just running around in a hospital all day, right? And you're like, maybe I'll have a chance to eat. Maybe I won't. Oh my gosh. Really utilize that first meal of the day, please, right? So again, my omelet is how I get in the veggies, and then I'll usually have blueberries or fruit on the side. If I make my oatmeal, then the very next meal I'll have a vegetable, but the oatmeal will definitely have blueberries in it for the fruit, right? Usually I have an omelet at some point in the day so that I get in a vegetable. Other easy ways to get vegetables are to make tacos, to make rice bowls. If you struggle with getting in vegetables, I want you to make a non-negotiable with yourself that you will always dice up a vegetable and put it in your rice every single time you have rice. I don't care what the vegetable is. It could be zucchini, it could be red pepper, it could be onion, it could be broccoli, it could be green beans. I don't care, right? That's like an easy non-negotiable. Even if you have like meat, potatoes, and then a veggie in there, right? Get the frozen veggies for a dollar. Like it's not hard, guys. Like a fruit and a vegetable breakfast is something that I do. 10 minutes of walking pre and post lift to get in those extra steps. That is also a non-negotiable that I have. If I call my mom or a friend, I will plan to walk around at that time. So I'll be like, okay, let me utilize this time to get in my steps while I call my mom, catch up. Also, I was on call or on hold with the bank the other day, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be a hot minute. Might as well utilize this time to go on a walk, right? It's all about habit stacking. It's all about utilizing your time well, right? I could have easily just been sitting in my bed calling my mom, but I was like, okay, let me actually make use of this time, get my steps in, get some sunshine, feel good about that, right? And then the easiestly, the most impactful one has been waking up earlier. Waking up earlier has changed my life. I started waking up early, I would say when I was in grad school. I don't think when I was like in my four-year degree, I really woke up very early. I think that's just college life for you. But I started waking up early in grad school just because I had more responsibilities. I needed more time in the day, and it just changes your life, right? Especially now when I need time for me before I start answering messages, before I just react to the day. I feel like if I can go to the gym in the morning, or if I can get a walk in, or if I can just knock something off the list in the morning, I feel more level-headed going into the day, and I already feel like I'm on track towards my goals, right? Because if you wake up late, if you're scrambling out of the house, if you're like, oh man, I didn't pack a lunch, I didn't pack breakfast, let me swing by Dunkin' Donuts on my way to work, what am I gonna eat there? Oh, I'm so hungry. Like, you're already feeling like you're not gonna win the day, okay? Waking up early will change your life, and I want to challenge you to do it. Wake up 30 minutes earlier tomorrow, right? Go to bed 30 minutes earlier tonight. I have a hard 9:30 p.m. bedtime. I wake up at 5:30. I actually have my first alarm at 5:15, and then I have a second alarm at 5:30. So 5:15 is like, you can get up if you want to, or you can just kind of like meander around for 15 minutes, and then 5:30 is like, all right, girl, we're getting up. So little hack for you, but waking up earlier will change your life. I will shout this from the rooftops, okay? I know some people out there are working overnight shifts or something like that. Obviously, I'm not talking to you, but if you're somebody who's been knowing, I probably need to start waking up earlier, this is your sign and your message to do so. The last two points that I have on my list here. The first one is, I have friends that have hobbies, and I have friends that I consider true friends. I do not have any friends that are going out friends. This is important because if you feel like your social circle is riding on how much you go out, you are probably going to have a hard time making this lifestyle change, okay? If the only time you see your friends is every Sunday when you start with bottomless mimosas and then you bar hop while you watch football games, you are gonna have a hard time reaching your fitness goals. It's not impossible, but I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, right? Like, you have to be willing to change your habits if you want different results, okay? And I'm not saying the one-off trip with your girlfriends, like you're drinking, you're having a good time. Like, trust me, I went to Chicago for St. Patrick's Day, right? I'm talking about the habits that you have created. What are you doing Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning? that's like nearly half your week. Okay. So you can go out, be sober. You can go out, have one drink. You can go out, eat before you go, right? There are gonna be, you gotta find a different middle ground sometimes, okay? You have to be able to have friends that wanna do things other than drink. I have friends who love to come over, and if I say, hey, I'm not, you know, gonna have any snacks because I'm tracking my macros right now and I already ate before, they're not gonna bat an eye. I even have some friends who come over and they bring a dinner. Like, I have my neighbor, Rachel, who comes over and she's like, hey, I'm tracking my macros. Like, can I eat this here? And I'm like, yeah, like, whatever. You know, like, I don't think it's weird because it's like, these are actual true friends of mine, right? And same thing for even date nights. Not every event with every friend or with my boyfriend involves food. And I think that's why I've been able to succeed in my goals, specifically my cut right now. Because it's not like, oh, every time I meet somebody, I meet up with someone and catch up, it has to be this whole ordeal around dinner and drinks and appetizers and dessert and let's try new food and all this stuff. It's not, right? It's not an every week, multiple times a week occurrence. And if it is for you right now, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying you can't change or you can't see progress. It's all about just being honest with where you can make adjustments. I go on way more walks now, both with friends and with my boyfriend. It's awesome. It's a great way to catch up, right? Part of it is like, you know, where we live, there's a lot of walking paths and the weather's really nice, but think about that. Think about like, can I just meet somebody for coffee? Can somebody come over without us having to down a whole bottle of wine together? Can we, you know, can I just go out and have a good time with my friends and like sing at the top of my lungs without feeling like I have to get drunk and like waste all day tomorrow just like rotting in my bed, right? These are the habits and these are the things that nobody's really talking about, which is why I want to talk about it with you. Because if you're anything like me, if I get drunk, I can't not eat food. Right? Like, I need to have pizza. I need to make a microwave quesadilla, right? Like, I know that about myself. So I'm not going to put myself in situations where I'm going to lose control like that a lot of the time, especially when I'm in a cut, right? And again, a cut is something that's only for a finite period of time. When you have more flexibility, like when I'm maintaining at like 2,200 calories, you best believe I have more flexibility. I can fit more in my day. I stress less. But when I'm in a cut, I'm going out to eat less. I'm drinking less alcohol. I'm just managing my time more because I have less energy, right? Naturally from just eating less food. So these are just kind of the things that I want you to think about. Like, how do you want to spend your time? Who are you surrounded by? Are your friends people who you can feel like you can have a sober conversation with and you can hang out outside of just going out? And if you don't want to drink, are your friends people who will understand that you don't want to drink? Or will they be a bad influence and peer pressure you to do something that you genuinely don't want to do, right? There are multiple occasions, especially towards the end of college, where I had my fitness Instagram. I was going out and ordering Diet Cokes and telling people they were vodka diets, right? Like, there were plenty of times, even to this day, where I'll go out to like a country bar that I like to go to with my friends if they want to go, and I'll have one drink or I won't drink. If I'm, you know, actually going to, you know, make this a place where I'm like, okay, I'm drinking, I'm having a good time, like it's going to be probably a wedding or a vacation or an event, and I'm not going to be in a cut. Because to me, it's like, okay, this is a finite period of time where my goals are taking more of a precedent right now. I need to dial in a little bit more. And maybe that's where you're at. Maybe in 2024, you're wanting to be in a deficit for a finite period of time. And I encourage you to not only just look at your macro targets, look at your training, but look at your habits. Are your actions in accordance with your goals, right? Because it's great if you want to change your physique, if you want to be healthier, if you want to live this lifestyle, but it doesn't just happen by saying you want to do it. Right? You're going to have to make these adjustments to your nutrition, to your lifestyle, to your just circle, to your environment. And it's not a bad thing. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. I really want you guys to, I want that to be the takeaway, is like, I feel so much more fulfilled in my day to day than I ever did prior to making this lifestyle change. Okay. I'm not saying that it was easy all the time, right? Learning new skills is hard. Breaking old habits is hard. Building new ones is hard. But I'm also not here to lie to you guys and say like, you can do whatever you want and still see changes, because you can't. Because if it was easy, everybody would do it. If no one had to sacrifice anything or change anything in order to see progress, everybody would see progress, right? We all don't have the same 24 hours in a day. But these things that I'm talking about are not things where it's like gonna add on an hour onto your life, or you need all this time in the world to be able to do this. Like, these are very doable changes for nearly everybody, right? You can make these adjustments and you can self-assess your habits. Again, we're not talking about the 1% of your life where you're going on a trip or you're going on vacation or you're going on date night, right? Or you're going on a bachelorette party. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, what decision do you make when you're really stressed out at work and you're on your way home? Is your afternoon/evening, I'm gonna hit the drive-thru, I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna skip the gym, and I'm just gonna veg out on the couch and like watch TV and do that like 3 out of the 5 nights of the week? Or is it, hey, I'm gonna bring my pre-workout meal to work, go straight from the gym, from work, and then come home, have dinner, have quality time with my significant other, watch a show, have my dessert if I tracked it, you know, in my day, whatever, and then go to bed and feel accomplished and go to bed at a reasonable time and then wake up the next day and tackle my goals again, right? Like, those are the decisions that I'm talking about. And especially if you hire a coach, I think there's this motivation to really make these shifts. But it's just a reminder, guys, like, you still got to make the shifts. You still got to be willing to have a growth mindset. And a good coach is going to meet you where you're at and have these conversations with you and collaborate with you, right? I know my clients, like, I know their schedule. I know what they have time to do. I know what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy, what they don't have time to do, their living situation, what they usually do, you know, on a night out, like what that looks like for them. And we've had these types of conversations, and it's really important and empowering for them a lot of the time to be able to make these changes and to be able to see their physique change and be like, wow, I actually feel better. I look better. This is really what I wanted for myself. I just needed somebody to kind of help validate me in making these changes and prove to me that I could make these adjustments and feel and look the best I ever have, right? Like, it's an empowering thing. Do the higher self exercise. Think about these things and be honest with yourself about, when you're in your routine, when you're making these decisions, when you're going to the grocery store, when you have some downtime, when you're time blocking your week, when you're thinking about what you have to do, what role is this lifestyle change playing in those decisions? And does it need to play a bigger part? That is what I have for you guys today. Let me know how you like this episode. I feel like every time I end an episode, I'm like, I feel like this was all over the place, but I do feel like this was. Even my notes were like all over, but I am open to conversation about this. I think this conversation is something that more people need to have, right? Because I think there's a lot of this, oh, just like intuitive lifestyle. Like, you can just kind of like feel what you want to do and do it. And it's like, yeah, but sometimes we just got to say, actually, I need to change my habits and I need to do things that I don't feel like doing, right? Like, point blank, you got this, okay? If you need help, I am always here. I'm always going to be your biggest hype woman. So let me know what you think of this episode, and I will talk to you guys very soon.